sort of footnote to this morning's discussion. This, in the Gita, there is a this question is specifically put and specifically answered. If all this goes on, if it is the cosmic energy that moves in cosmic consciousness and that is what all this life is about, what is sin? Athakena prayuktoyam papam charati purushah anichchan abhivarshnaya baladi vinayojitah. This is the question put by Arjuna, the student. If that is so, then what do you call sin? Why do we say that is sin? And Krishna's answer is simple, though again it's theologized. Kamayesha krodhayesha rajoguna samudbhava mahasharo mahapapma vidhyena mihavairinam. He does not even say that sin is born of desire and hate. It is not as though sin is the result of desire and hate. Desire and hate are the personal reactions of the egocentric personality. Yes? In the cosmos, there is no desire, there is no hate. There is attraction, repulsion, which is natural. In the cosmos, there is no factor that answers your description of desire and your description of hate. In the case of what we may call natural attraction and repulsion, it is always there, night, day. It is always there. Bring the two poles of the positive poles of magnet together, they will jump off. Whether it is night or day, whether it is the old man holding it or a young man holding it, boy or girl, nothing. But what we call desire, on the other hand, is related to individual idiosyncrasy. It is not only irrational, erratic. And it is not only erratic, but it's ever-changing. I like you one day and I don't like you another day. I love you one day and I hate you another day. That sort of thing doesn't exist in nature. That is not natural. That is not natural attraction, repulsion. Pour a bucket of water on coals of fire, it puts out that fire at all times, even if the water is hot. But you bring two people together, their reaction is never natural. They say, "I love so and so and so," and then you have to go and like we do here. We often ask one another, "Is she still living with him? Is he still living in the same house? Is she still married to him?" It's a funny question. I have not understood it. She was married to him before, but is she still married to him? That sort of thing. That, right? You understand, no? In nature, it's a natural factor. Unless the nature of one is completely changed. In other words, dehydrated water does not put out fire. water puts out fire. But dehydrated water does not put out fire. You know what?
Air.
I don't know if we can call it even air. Anyhow. Huh? When you
dehydrated, the oxygen.
So, dehydrated water promotes fire. Dehydrated water feeds fire. So, unless you completely, totally alter the nature of something and make it into transmute it into another thing, the relationship does not change. The reaction does not change. But in our case, we are whimsical and there is a special connotation of what is desire and what is hate. The natural repulsion of like poles of a magnet and that sort of thing does not apply to human behavior. Our hate again is something mysterious, it's something funny. It's not natural repulsion. You put your hand on a hot stove, it withdraws. Unless you are paralyzed. That is when the nature of the object has been changed completely. It's dead. It's not a living substance at all. But it is not so with us. At some time we are repelled, at another time we get along very well. And that itself is sin, he says. That is a revolutionary and beautiful expression in the Gita. Kamayesha, krodhesha, rajoguna, samudbhuva. They are born of rajoguna. Never mind what that means. Mahashano, mahapapma, vidhyena, mahavairinam. This is sin. So the action itself is not sin. Because the action is not outside the scope of the cosmic, of the functioning of the cosmic energy. The action is not outside the scope of cosmic consciousness. If you are a dead body, I am a dead body, we wouldn't kill each other. It is the existence of that consciousness and the functioning of energy, which is not confined either to me or to you. It is that is ultimately responsible for this action. Nothing, no action takes place outside it. That's what you call God's will or whatever it is. But in that simple situation, there is a complexity introduced, hate. That hate is sin. Why do I hate you? Because I love so and so, so and so. I love my wife and I see in you the possibility of a threat to this relationship. So both this, what I call love of my wife and what I call hate in relation to you, this is sin. Remove this. Where is it? It is in me. Nowhere else. That hate is in me. Nowhere else. That desire or the craving is in me. Nowhere else. When these two are removed, then I suddenly see that my clinging to this movement, to this action, my identification with this action, my assumption that this action proceeds from me is also lost. I want to lie down on that lovely bed. That's a desire, that's a craving. So you jump on the bed. I want to lie down. Ah, it's nice, lovely. That's one thing. The body lies down on the bed and it feels fine. But somehow I feel I am lying down on that bed and I feel nice, wonderful, comfortable, pleasant, happy. When sleep comes along, the whole thing is knocked out. I'm not sleeping. I don't even know I'm sleeping. Sleep happens. That is a distinction. Something is happening. And somebody else jumps up and says, I'm doing this. I'm not doing. I'm not sleeping. Sleep is sleeping me. Sleep is sleeping itself. I have nothing to do with sleep. So, whatever is happening in this universe, it is desire and it is hate that hold it, touch it, creating the feeling, I am doing this. When this desire and when this hate are taken away, the movement of energy is still there in consciousness. But then, since there is no motivation of desire, or dislike, or hate, there is no holding it. It's free. That is called non-attachment. Non-attachment or non-contact is when there is no desire and when there is no hate at all. So that the two propelling or inhibiting forces are dropped. So your business is to ensure that these two don't jump up and start propelling or inhibiting. When these are not there, the action takes place. The action has to, whatever has to take place will take place. Lou sounds like predestination. Well, maybe, why not?
People from the beginning of their lives experience pain, physical pain, and so they start calculating means to avoid it. Is the fear about pain, is that an inherent thing or is it a conditioned thing? Because if it is inherent, then it seems to set up a whole structure on which will be built this avoidance and dislike. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. People, let's say I,
Me.
Me. I experience pain. When did I begin to experience pain?
First time I cut my finger
with a bread knife. No, that's a bit far-fetched. Let's say the fire is the best example.
Yeah.
First time I touch something hot or I try to grab a flame, which is nice, attractive. How old were you then? Two, three? Three.
Yeah.
Let's say three, nice age. And what did I do?
Cried, screamed.
Ice cream means, like ice cream.
God given ice cream.
Right. So, I screamed. Because I touched it, it was hot. That's all.
But I didn't touch it again.
Naturally, I didn't touch it again.
So, now I've...
Therefore, there was the intelligence in the finger, as it were, became suddenly aware that this and that do not go together.
Right. And the first time my father gave me a hiding, I decided that as well.
Yeah, right.
So now I'm building up
the
whole pattern of
The pattern is built because of the linking of memories. That comes much later.
But that is the function of the ego.
That is the function. That's not necessarily the function. Yeah, one of the functions of the ego. That is, it builds up memories, memory patterns. That is not essential. It is, to use a rather, decent expression. It is the misuse of intelligence. The intelligence that is in this body knows what the body can take and what the body cannot take. There is a certain built-in tolerance in terms of temperature. And the body is able to take it, and above and below, the body resents it. That is, there is a built-in thermometer. And that intelligence says, no, I don't want that. And the intelligence says, I want this. And those things are permanent. Those things are constant. At the age of 3, you found that fire burns. At the age of 33, you still know that fire burns. Damn it, I won't touch it. But that is not true of the father-daughter relationship. The father spanked me when I was 3. So I got frightened. Every time he came near me, I screamed. Mm-hmm. But then later, I realized that he is a very good man.
But sometimes he spanks me.
Sometimes he spanks me. But
so I must be careful.
Right? No. There's a confusion there. So that he doesn't always spank me, just as the fire always burns me.
Yeah.
The fire always burns me, but this man doesn't spank me all the time. And now comes another funny thing. I had my homeopathy guru. He used to get mad, you know. He was a very short-tempered old man. But every time he lost his temper with any one of us, it may be me this time, it may be servant the next time, it may be patient later, he was milk and honey for the rest of the day. When we found that out, we look forward to it. He screamed, "Oh God, something is coming." He's going to make up for it. You see that? So that, not unlike fire, it doesn't burn always. It's a changing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So a different type of intelligence is needed to deal with that. Why do I connect these two and make a pattern out of them? Now, for instance,
I don't think one does necessarily.
No, you do it. Unfortunately, we do it. That is where this love, love and hate are born. Right? In the case of what they would the philosophers would call inert, inanimate objects, the reaction is the same. In relation to inanimate things, the reaction is the same. Whereas in the case of human relationship, or our relationship with living beings, I am a living being and you are a living being, and we are constantly moving, changing, constantly moving, changing, unlike fire, unlike water.
Just static, constant.
Yeah, constant. This is not constant.
Mm-hmm.
So why apply that which properly belongs to constant elements? What is it that stretches this to include inconstant elements?
Well, I think we should cut out the constant elements.
The constant element is governed by some laws,
yeah.
And this body learns the rules of how to deal with these constant elements. That's intelligence. I stood on the ledge once, I fell down, and I don't want to do that again, knowing that if I stood there, I would fall down.
Yeah.
It's a constant thing, and if I fall down from that height, I injure myself. Why apply that to an inconstant human relationship?
Mm.
Whereas there it is intelligence, here it is foolishness.
So that.
No, wait. Have you understood that?
Yeah.
There it is a function of intelligence, and here it is hate. It is fear. It is hate.
So relationships between two changing phenomena should be constantly new.
There's no relationship, right? Or there's no relationship.
So if two changing phenomena are interrelating, yeah, me and my father, say,
right.
We're both changing and both interrelating, I should never expect anything.
Perfect. 100%. You know, you never take anything for granted.
Right.
He may type in the, I'm not saying this about your father, about your boyfriend. He must have been the, might have been the sweetest of angels 10 days ago, and now he may be something else, completely different. Or he might have been something else, you know, vicious, some time ago, and now he might have changed completely. So here, therefore, there is an openness. There is a watchfulness, and therefore, if you stop calling that fear, I am not afraid of fire.
Yeah.
My finger was burnt when I was 3. I am not afraid of fire.
Yeah.
I don't hate fire.
Yeah.
The intelligence sees that this is not to be done. It should not be touched. That's a matter of intelligence, wisdom. But in human relationship, if he spanked me or if he hurt me once, I fear him. That is fear. Because he may not be in a mood to hurt me today, but I remember what he did to me 10 years ago. And the revival of that memory generates fear. The revival of that memory generates hate, which is totally irrational, foolish, stupid. That is sin. This is not sin at all. Even, if you don't like it, throw it away. There's no sin in living. That desire, that hate, and the fear that these give rise, they are the cause of sin. It's a beautiful statement that desire, craving and hate, love and hate, they do not cause sin. He says, this is sin.